We hear this term, the joy of flight. But if we're honest, when was the last time you used those words to describe your trip? The journey through the airport, checking bags, the TSA, corralled, prodded, poked, boarded, seated, waiting, and doing it all again on the other side. It would be a reach to say our current experience of flying is joyful. Enter Connect Air. For CEO Jonathan Evans and CCO Lisa Christensen, the time has come to lead a renaissance in the way we experience flight. Combining aviation technology and software to reintroduce us back to the joy of flying, Connect Air wants to utilize the power of that little supercomputer in all our hands to hail on-demand flights to the places we want to go to see the people we want to connect with. And the love of aviation runs deep in the Connect Air team. Jonathan, a lifelong aviator whose career started in the military, is also an accomplished entrepreneur, founding Skyward, a drone company that was sold to Verizon in 2017. And Lisa, recently finishing a 20-year career in the Air Force where she piloted special air missions for the top brass in Washington. She is the kindest badass you've ever met. And you can expect similar resumes from the rest of the team at Connect Air. People who love flying, who have spent their life flying, who are dead set on bringing back the joy of flight to each person. So pack your bags. It's time to open the skies and disrupt the airline industry. We hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you down the road. Lisa and John, welcome to the Roadcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Wow.
Thanks for letting us be here. Maybe, where are we? Maybe let's orient people.
So we're in the hangar. What? Whose hangar?
Leading Edge.
Leading Edge hangar here at Bend Municipal Airport.
Which is amazing. We just got to pull this thing in. Maybe the coolest set we've ever done. So
anything with airplanes.
Anything with airplanes. We flew over here. We raced over Mount Hood to get here to have this conversation with you. So I'm so excited. I can't wait to dive in. And I think part of the unique story of Connect Air, not to be too personal, but is your guys' relationship as friends. Mm-hmm. Your friends. And maybe we just start there. Like, where did you first meet and part ways and meet again?
So Meldam Nursery School we both went to in Concord, Massachusetts, the nice historic town of Concord, you know, with Walden Pond and the Alcott's and old and
actual Walden Pond.
Yeah. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And the Alcott House and Louisa May Alcott.
What?
And Walden Pond. And
this is like where you went to preschool.
I like to remind our British colleagues that this is where the shot heard around the world was fired. And they go, what are you talking about? Right? It wasn't heard around the world.
It was for us. This half of the world.
Yeah. So we grew up there. I think my first memory is probably kindergarten. But his sister's my year, so we were always good friends.
This is so good.
He graduated a year ahead of me and went off to college, and I graduated the next year and went off to the Air Force Academy in Colorado.
What year was that?
In 1997.
If you don't mind. Oh, that's not that
long. Yeah, you graduated in 97.
And then I left like two days after I turned 18 and went to the Academy. And
straight to the Academy. Straight. You knew. It was like, I'm flying or I'm going.
I wanted something different than normal school. And I had found that out on Outward Bound that I really wanted to be challenged.
Yeah.
And that my parents had planted the seed early that I wanted to fly. And then a women air service pilot luncheon of the 99s, which is this really cool group of women mm-hmm. pilots. They were inspirational.
I went to Boulder after Concord and promptly dropped out within a semester, which is a pattern in my life and many other entrepreneurs, I'm told. So, but I dropped out. I enlisted in the Army at 19. And I spent about a year and a half of miserable enlisted life, getting in trouble for my vocabulary and stuff with my sergeants. And
shocking.
Like, shocking.
Like, seriously, like trying to figure out if I could go the 3 years or not. And, fortunately, I applied to flight school, and the Army has a program where you don't need to have a college degree. It's called a warrant officer program. Oh. And it's kind of why I enlisted in the first place. I thought, all right, I'm dropping out of college, but I still want to fly in the military, basically. I wanted to fly in the Navy. You know, I was, you know, like everybody watched Top Gun as a kid. In the 80s and my grandfather was a naval aviator also. So,
okay.
You know, he was a huge influence on my love of the sky. And, so this seemed like after I dropped out of college, I was like, well, here's a quick path into You know, and then I was foolish because it's not that easy to just enlist and then apply to yeah. one officer flight school. My recruiter kind of sold me a bill of goods, although I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I ended up doing it a year and a half later. I did get into warrant officer flight school, and I was the youngest, you know, military pilot on the day I got my wings about a year later, a year and a half.
How old were you then?
So I would have been, I guess, 21 when I actually got my wings and was flying Blackhawks and getting sent to Germany.
Crazy.
When my friends were all basically just finishing college.
All right, so maybe tell us a little bit about this plane and what the Connect Air flight's going to look like for us.
Well, this is an Austrian-made airplane called a Diamond DA-62. And you can kind of think of it as like a European clean diesel SUV of the sky.
SUV of the sky, I love it.
Yeah, it's got, obviously you can see twin engines, and uh-huh. and both of these engines, this is pretty novel in what you call the general aviation category, but these are turbo diesel engines.
Okay.
And so they really, really are fuel efficient, and they actually give us power up to altitude to climb over the Cascades right now, and they do a real good job and drive us at about 200 miles per hour in cruise, and uh-huh. that's going to get us to bend from wheels up about 45 minutes later.
That's crazy.
We're going to be on the ground.
How many people does it fit?
7 people. You see, we got the little ones already in the back, just like a third row of an SUV or something. Yeah. And then you two are going to sit in the middle, and I'm going to sit up front with Jake and get to look at my old office, basically. But
right.
not touch the controls, just a passenger today.
Well, let's talk about the origin of Skyward right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
What did you see, you know, the
That's an example. I referred to it earlier that, like, the way we understand sort of apps and the way they focus information functionality
yeah.
for us and value transaction functionality into a really easy human ergonomic. Drones, both aerial, ground-based, water-based, robots, autonomous robots that are programmatically
yep.
moving through, you know, the commons of, mm-hmm. of society, are capable of doing that in the physical world. They can become kinetic apps.
Yeah.
So you can get just as specialized. That's why I say screwing in a
yeah.
light bulb, but you could design a drone to do that mm-hmm. if there was enough ROI for it.
Yeah.
And actually the engineering is probably there to do that one, but the regulations really aren't. And the FAA has a lot of, and the CAAs of the world and ICAO at the UN has a lot of trouble understanding, you know, this kind of technology and at its scale and ubiquity. And encasing it into, you know, the rules of the road for that kind of technology.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time trying to bridge that gap. And it's not bridged yet, honestly. I think we're on the cusp. I think we're getting closer. I think you'll see in Europe the EASA framework for drones, what they call U-Space, will probably start to really provide a fabric, like a regulatory
yeah.
fabric for that kind of a vision.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see the light bulbs getting screwed in. You're going to see blood being delivered, vaccines,
yep.
really high value.
Yep.
You know, I think movements of atoms, we say you either yeah. move atoms or observe pixels, basically, which
yeah.
drones, right, one way or the other.
So you said, like, it failed, you know, in terms of, like, what you saw. But
mm-hmm.
are you hopeful as that thing? Do you feel like it's coming closer together? I mean, because Connect Air is another endeavor on that.
Yeah, but it's a retrograde motion in terms of, like, the audacity of technology.
Yes.
We are definitely, so something that hasn't really been applied to just traditional, you know, good old fashioned charter aviation is these ubiquitously connected, you know, supercomputers
yeah.
in our pockets. There's nobody providing the ability to summons an affordable aircraft to your local airfield using a smartphone app yet. It's not done yet, right? And it should be. So when to ask the bigger question about drones, answer it. I'll answer this one first. To me, the way I see technology is as almost a river. There's an inevitability of it.
Yeah.
That no one entrepreneur or visionary can affect. It takes so many nuanced things to cause a whole river to move in this direction, right? But it will go that way.
It's going that way.
Like, there's yeah. very clear intention to technology
yeah.
to continue to become, I think, progressively more supportive of the human condition.
Yeah.
And to become more optimized and elegant and intelligent itself. So when you take a great technology, institutional technology of foundational technology that's been established for only 100 years in aviation, it inevitably becomes digital. It becomes automated. It becomes more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
As you have the internet joining it for only 20 years of those 100, like it's new still to aviation.
Yeah. That's such a helpful zoom out in perspective, and to put it in that context, you know, the larger context. I love it. And I wish you were a little more passionate. So if we could maybe work on
that. Well, and I also think that it brings up, there's the technology and there's the medium, but there's also the human part of this, and how the human world has changed, especially through COVID. And so you have technology, which is woven into the fabric, but then we come back to this, people really need to connect with other people, and family really matters. And so you start weaving, how does technology and how do we move? And Zoom is, and digital media is so amazing, but is it amazing enough to bridge the gap of actually hanging out and being face to face? And so how do we look at how people move and connect? And how do we change that dynamic so that it can meet more people?
Yeah.
And that, I think we come back to, like, technology is amazing and it's moving in a direction, but how do we upset the infrastructure that's been just accepted, which is the hub and spoke infrastructure of aviation, and make the going to the actual small towns more affordable, where airlines are cutting service to the small towns? How do we bring that back so people can get where they're going and see the people that they want to see?
It's what I love about, I mean, the two of you and the company is this human-centric, you know, anchor around design and around the intention. And I want to get to more of that.
Can
I want to close
actually,
the
loop. Can I riff?
Riff on that. That's great.
And get back to the plot a little bit. So, you know, like, Lisa rounds out this amazing career in the Air Force. Amazing. And she's not going to do it, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, just tell us, because she isn't.
Yeah, because she won't do it post Alaska enough service. So, I mean, when you think about, like, the filter of the military and that Lisa has gone through, right? I think we all understand the academies are basically, you know, they're Stanford or Harvard level of sort of filter, right, to get into. Won't even talk about where you graduated there, but keep going through the filter 4 years later. Get selected for flight school out of that. Another filter. Okay. Get selected to be instructor in the aircraft that you're flying 7 years later. Another major filter. Get selected in your last lap to join and fly for it first, the 89th
Airlift Wing.
89th Airlift Wing. Look that up. Put the Wikipedia up. 89th Airlift Wing flies out of Andrews Air Force Base. They fly Air Force One, Air Force Two, and the rest.
Woo!
Yeah. So final filter in the Air Force there.
That's right? It?
I mean, not yet. We got one more.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But in terms of being selected to just fly for them at all, or to, you know, turn wrenches or dispatch for anybody in this unit is selected. I'm like definitely admiring her career. As a fellow military person, there's very few people from our home that can appreciate what I got invited to as the final filter, which was a change of command ceremony for Lisa to take command of a squadron, the operations squadron for Andrews Air Force Base, a 150-person organization that is entrusted with providing the highest level of service of VIP transport for all of the aviation wings that fly out of there and the customers that come through there. And when we say customers, we mean the president and everybody else.
Yeah.
And so Lisa was offered in that final lap to be the commander of that squadron running Air Force, Andrews Air Force Base, basically.
Well, the airfield. So
the focus
was the airfield. So airfield, weather, intel.
I love that you're still trying to notch it down for us. Like, this is the president. And you're like, well, it wasn't. We're like, Lisa.
It was amazing.
You're amazing.
It was an incredible opportunity.
Yes.
You know.
Why do you feel like you,
Jonathan's
words, ended like that, made it to that level of a filter? Like, what was it?
I really like airplanes and I love flying. But I love people.
Yes.
I mean, I really love people.
That's why.
And I love, I love creating teams, you know. I ski raced and played lacrosse and was captains for both at the Air Force Academy for the teams. They were club teams, but they were amazing people. And I've just always loved teamwork as a behavioral science major. So I like the psychology of teams and knowing oneself, being
able. You're a walking empath.
I like, you know, transparent leadership and transparency of my own weaknesses so that people can be transparent with theirs.
Yeah.
And just to, like, that belief and building, finding the best in people to build the best teams, and working with people that have been hand selected that wanted to be there, you yeah. start building that idea that when people want to be there and they have buy-in and they're there because they want to be, it's such an amazing team. Because you're not giving,
yes.
you constantly have
There's
to
self-motivating
remind
there, yeah.
them the why. Like, what's your why? And that we all need to be sometimes reminded of our why. But when the why is like
intrinsic,
yeah. you don't have to sell them on it. I mean, because days are hard, and you know, but you're still there because you want to be. You're doing
I love
hard.
That level of team. I mean, just what a special thing to experience and to aspire towards.
And I think that Air Force and the military in general changes society first. Huh. And that we are the agents of change in acceptance and also being held accountable in a way. So that, you know, I...
Will you unpack that just a little bit
yeah,
more?
So we are the most diverse. You know, I'm a first generation American, and it was not uncommon that I would be in a room of other first generation Americans that are feel privileged to be here, and that the U.S. gave hope and a place for us to dream our best dreams. And I was always told, you can be whatever you want to be. And not everyone is given that as a female or, you know, as whoever. Like, name what it is yeah. that makes you different or makes it harder. But that there's an equality there because we all put on the same uniform and we're all there for the same purpose. So I think there's a societal change that happens there in a certain amount of acceptance that's incredible.
There is something in the character of somebody that kind of wants to work for the greater good than and not just their sort of selfish yeah. pursuits. And yeah, and to the plot, like, I recruited Lisa, as she said, I recruited her since, you know,
at least 4 years.
Kindergarten, but in the last 4 years, I was definitely sort of transitioning from Skyward and Verizon and saying, I definitely have this inkling of what I want to do next, which was get out of drones, get into good old-fashioned airplanes, and connect them with software, right? And connect a joyful experience to aviation.
That's that retro. Okay,
that was
yeah.
totally, you know, available, basically, to everybody. If you added up the elements of these local airfields, these aircraft that are affordable but still very capable to fly,
yeah.
and just a very trustworthy, well-trained, you know,
team.
Kind and intelligent pilot flying it.
Yeah.
You add those things up, you put everybody is, you know, supercomputer in their hands connected, and you can add up an aviation system that can empower people in a whole new way. Yeah. And there's no regulatory innovation required. There's no new engineering required. We don't need a new AHA aircraft to do this. We just choose the right ones. But fundamentally, adding up all of that is kind of, like you were pointing out, Jake, soulless. Like, the machine of aviation and software connecting it is engineering. What we really want to provide is a joyful experience in the journey.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, a bit of a light Buddhist, and I say the journey is the destination. I call myself a techno-Buddhist.
Yeah.
Right? The journey is the destination. And with Connect Air, you think about what aviation's become today.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of that. It's yep. it's sanitary, it's corralled, it's hermetically sealed and protecting us from it as though it's something to not enjoy.
Where and we can each tell you our first flight and yeah. that. Like,
I would love,
joy.
I think that's a great, like, I think for someone who was in the military, you know, flying helicopters, ambulance, successfully starts a startup, exits through Verizon, and then someone who's served through the highest ranks, and that the core of it still seems to be like this joy of flying. You know, that there is a real pure thread of that runs through Connect Air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that just in my own experience of like went flying it, you know, yeah. with Jonathan, but then the team as well. And I don't know, why is it joy? Like, why is joy a central characteristic of this endeavor?
Well, because that's what we're afforded now. And, you know, at the progressive tip of civilization, like we're given more time in our lives to do nothing else with but try to, I think, cultivate joy, right? Like, if you, I'm saying on a macro scale, right?
Yeah.
Like a 40-hour work week and weekends kind of scale, right? Like we have time off, and I think increasingly, especially post-pandemic, we have time and space, fluidity and dynamism, and sort of empowered in very structural ways and new ways, but yeah, I think the next step for humans is to try to enjoy their time more, honestly.
I love that. I think it's so simple.
Yeah.
And yet it's still, everyone always envisioned it, and then we got there, and then it's the joy is, you know what's the utopia or the Disney utopia, whatever it is, and then you have all the technology, and it doesn't equal more time, and
connection with people you love,
yeah,
right? That
totally.
Harvard study on happiness, like, or the Buddha, or yeah. Saint Augustine's Assisi, it's love and connection to the humans that you love. That is what equals happiness.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Harvard study. Leave all the religion out of it. Right, it doesn't have to be spiritual. They literally study. If you haven't seen this one, it's this wonderful, by what do they call it? Like double. It's one of the best kind of studies you can do. I can't use the right words because I'm a hack. But and they've been doing it for like 60 years, and they figured out that happiness is about human connection.
Whoa! Ooh, surprise.
Yeah. So like, I feel like in Connect Air, in this project, and kind of welling from the joy of flight we've always wanted to share with humans, and then actually providing this amazing technology in aviation and software to connect humans to the other humans they want to be connected to in the personal geographies they're actually interested in.
Yeah.
Was there the origin seed moment where you're like, oh my gosh, this is what I gotta do, you know, this? I mean, it was probably the day after I got my pilot's license, I invited my buddy Mike Vitaloff, who was also enlisted in the Army with me, and he was also wanted to get his pilot's license. The day I got my pilot's license, I called him and said, do you want to go get the proverbial, what we call $100 hamburger? Do you want to get the $100 hamburger? And that meant, you know, you want to fly up to Louisville to an airfield near a restaurant that we can go get a hamburger at. And he's brave enough to share the joy of flight with me that first trip, and I've kind of wanted to share it with everybody ever since. And I think there's no aha. I kind of had an aha moment about the business when I took a plane I rented from a local flying club here. I took a couple of my friends, other entrepreneurs, tech entrepreneurs, Chris Tiso and Ray King. I took them flying up to the San Juan Islands, and we landed, I believe, at Roach Harbor. Maybe we landed at Orcas. I think we landed at Orcas, and we went and got, you know, lunch. We got the $100 hamburger up in Orcas, and it was just like a 45-minute flight or an hour flight up there from, I think we took off out of Hillsboro and back, and it was the first time that those guys had ever really seen this local-to-local aviation experience, and really, you know, saw how much they would enjoy it if it was just available to them. And of course, being entrepreneurs, we're sitting there talking the whole time that we're flying and having lunch and enjoying our flight through the Olympic Mountains and just being awed and inspired and enjoying, you know, the journey. We're talking about how you could do this if you could use these airplanes and some software and, you know, put an app in people's hands where they could summons them in the hand trusted pilots like Jake here. And I guess that's where it was probably born.
We've kind of crescendoed and not really just explained what is Connect Air and what is it that Connect Air is going to do. And that's why I want Lisa to kind of like, through your lens and Jonathan, through your lens of like, what is this endeavor? Like, explain it to the people of what's happening.
It'll utilize software to enable us to provide, that software will make it more efficient, hence more affordable, so that we can provide this charter on-demand movement to everyone, to a more affordable group. Right now you're charter servicing the top 0.1%.
Households that make $5 million or more a year.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just not affordable. But here we are living in these beautiful places now, and COVID's moved everyone out of cities, or a ton of people.
Yeah.
How do you still maintain connection, and how do you make it in an affordable way? So Connect Air creates the software that provides the efficiency to make that more affordable for you and I to go experience this and get to where we want to go and not spend hours in a car or at airports or flying. Like, to get to Portland, to come see you, I'd have to go through Seattle and then down to Portland. Like, that's just time and that none of it isn't part of the joy.
Well, and I go back to John, that it isn't necessary. Like, if we can figure it out, yes, and utilize the creativity and the progress, like, these are things we can eliminate.
Yes. You know? Mm-hmm. And we can use it more efficiently. We have all these airfields around the United States and the world that people are paying for to keep open and operating. Why not use them for more people?
Yeah. What is the stat? Like, what is...
There are about 5,000 airports available to us in the United States. In these aircraft, I mean, the runways lengths really matter. Like, jets need at least a mile to land for the most part. Is that fair, jet pilot?
Yeah.
As a heuristic. Like 5,000 feet-ish. And so that eliminates a whole bunch of those 5,000 airfields. Our aircraft land in, you know, safely under 3,000, 2,500. Land and take off with our payloads, and we're comfortable there. And that's like 5,000 airfields around the country. And I think they're within, 20 minutes of 70% of the population. We do all these cool stats that show you this. NASA does really good work on this too. Yeah. They have a white paper that you can read on regional air mobility. And we're working hand in glove with NASA and that team right now. They portended the regional air mobility pattern that we have built at Connect Air.
Yeah.
This notion of a more distributed network as opposed to a hub and spoke system of smaller format aircraft carrying, our current fleet only carries 4 adult passengers. We can flex to, you know, some other kids and pets and things too, mm-hmm. but 4 adult passengers with our captain flying you within about a 500 mile region, 200 miles per hour, point to point. And we'll beat the airlines in that 500 mile region all day at 200 miles an hour, point to point, and no TSA.
Just walk on, walk off.
Yeah. How long did we take?
It's disorienting.
Yeah.
In terms of the experience, you know, you don't really, because if you haven't flown this way, you're so oriented to this sterile
cattle,
herded in and claustrophobic. And so you almost are like gingerly walking on and being like, so we just get on and we just get off. And we got off and there was like two.
No, you got to shake Jake's hand.
Shake the pilot's hand. And then it's like these two golden retrievers are hanging out and you're like, and grandpa or uncle, whoever's there. And you just, it's amazing. I know with the race we'll show of just like, I was talking to one of the friends that flew and he said, the whole of it for him was summed up in 50 yards of magic, and it was the 50 yards walking on and the 50 yards walking off, which you don't realize how fraught those 50 yards are in other formats of flying.
And yeah, like, the secret is we're obviously all aviation, all sky and the joy of flight. And I think honestly our ground game is the secret, right? It's like, yeah, that elegance of experience. You literally don't have a parking garage experience.
No,
like, you just pull up like you're to any boutique, mall or whatever. You just pull into a parking lot and you walk in, right?
That's it.
So Connect Air, I can give you sort of a romantic answer of like where
I want everything.
Well, I keep riffing on it. Obviously, it's sort of my own poetry about where it comes from. It's like the boy that really wanted to fly, right? And I flew for the first time when I was 10 years old because my grandfather hooked me up with one of his fellow Delta captains that owned a Piper J3 fabric-covered tandem seat aircraft that we took off of a dirt road in New Hampshire mm-hmm. with the doors open, and he grabbed me on the shoulder and yelled over the din, "Take the stick." And I did, and he says, "Pull back on it." And I did. And I was changed after that moment. Like the moment of being able to like take flight. Mm. It's what Da Vinci and many others have really, really wanted to do for a long time in humanity, right? And when you can do it for the first time, it's magic, it's powerful. And it should be seen that way, I think, today. It's
still
damn near
magic,
a miracle.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Once I had that and I was sort of flying my friends around now in these smaller airplanes to like the San Juan Islands for the $100 hamburger, we call it. It occurred to me that I don't need like a new kind of aircraft, like an aerial robot or a drone. I don't need like anything special other than to add up the economics it takes to fly this aircraft with my friends to a scalable platform that can actually connect these aircraft with the right pilots. And then ultimately the customers, like put it in their hands in an app like we would all expect. There's nothing, it's not going to seem that novel other than it doesn't exist yet for aviation. But the app won't seem like, whoa, look at this new kind of app.
Yeah.
But it'll be amazing what it can do.
that right. it can see yeah. right now 40% of charters empty legs. So you're paying for that. So it just makes it less affordable.
And the idea of having a price and a button that you can transact for in an app is also novel to charter operations. That's not done today. Yeah. And then the price point that we're offering at about $1.50 a passenger seat mile, crazy. Roughly at, is where we're coming to market today as we saturate the network and eventually electrify, you know, in 5-10 years time, we'll drive that price into like 50 cents a passenger seat mile. The airlines operate around 15 to 20 cents a passenger seat mile, just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Charter today operates at about $10 to $20 a passenger seat mile. Yeah. So an order of magnitude less in these aircraft, basically being optimized with software, is available with no other novelty than to add that up, right? Yeah. And so our, you know, our software spits out a price that's one, affordable to the customer, but also makes the company money. Right? It yep. has margin in it yep. and not as much risk as traditional charter because we understand, software understands better than humans do what the inherent cost is and the inherent overhead of the next customer's request.
Jonathan, what's the kind of overall, how where do you want to see Connectair expand into or phase vision?
I mean, I could offer you a phase vision or just kind of go from crawl to walk straight to run.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're setting out to do something as significant. I often say something as significant as Pan Am did at the dawn of commercial aviation and connecting the world.
Yeah.
And something more recent in what I admire what Airbnb has done in unlocking an enormous amount of capacity and capability for all of us to travel and live in really dynamic and interesting places where we want to anywhere in the world. And I want Connectair to be able to connect those noble dots, you know, and be just as accessible as Airbnb is to everybody in the world in their, you know, personal geographies, in their regions, and know that they can summon the power of a flight journey in the palm of their hand and be able to connect those dots themselves at a very reasonable price and experiencing that joy of flight that I'm going to write a book about, I decided, after this flight.
The key to anything I know about building anything now is people. It comes back to that human connection. And something I've been able to apply in this journey post-Skyward in a much more relaxed way is just to trust in that.
Yeah.
Truly. And it's not like a self-help book or like some kind of hand-wavy truth. It's genuine. If you as the sort of leader that's sort of putting the troop together, really trust them and give them the autonomy, mastery, and purpose that we talk about that sort of blends to intrinsic motivation. Yeah. Motivation, they do become motivated themselves and they invest their life and time in what I say, I hope I provide a context to do the best work of their lives.
Yeah. It's amazing.
We should all be able to do that.
Yeah.
We should all be able to invest our time in work that feeds us soulfully, I think. And everybody on our team feels like we're doing something important with this.
Thanks for giving us this slice. It's super meaningful talking about your story and what's happening with Connectair. Yeah, absolutely. We loved having you and look forward to more adventures and more conversations.
And more flying.
Yes.
To where we want to go, our next adventure.
With who we want to go with.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Me too.
Yeah, I think we might have to have like a Skycast?
Flycast?
Flycast?
Skycast?
Skycast? Sort of
Aircast?
Augmentee? There, I did it. That was my gym.
This?
Yeah.
The type of airstream. There you gotta go. This is called the Flying Cloud. So I think it's serendipitous there too. Easy flight.
I mean, it was easy for me. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well. Yeah. So what time is it?
I mean, when you got a guy like Jake at the controls, you can really sit back and relax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
What are we going to do now?
We got dogs.
We got dogs.
It's quiet. I have no lines.
Dogs, kids.
Bend. Fresh air. Bend.
Bend.
Warm.
There's paddle. There are.
Let's get it. Let's go get a river.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go
right,
get a river.
Let's do it.
Yeah.